continue. So first, to summarize, very briefly, yesterday we discussed what is Sampradaya, and we saw how the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya is related to and yet distinct from the Tattvavada Sampradaya of Madhvacharya. The Tattvavada Sampradaya and Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya actually, as we read in one purport, they actually have fundamentally, or in one sense fundamentally, different missions. Madhvacharya Sampradaya's mission is to defeat Mayavadi philosophy and to establish the form of Krishna as the absolute truth, supreme worshipable object. But Lord Chaitanya Sampradaya, which the seed was given by Sri Madhavendra Puri, the seed of love of Godhead, that is to make available to everyone pure love of Krishna, Krishna Prema. So we should always remember that, whatever seeming, as we read the purport, and Mahaprabhu did express some dissatisfaction. Hey Tattva, can you sit there behind the pillar so I can't see you, because I'm supposed to throw you out. No, just I can then honestly say, oh, it's going on tape, sorry. Anyway, whatever seeming deficiency is there in the Tattvavad Sampradaya, we should always keep in mind their mission. They have that has a specific mission, so we don't need to see that as a defect. But rather, Mahaprabhu, his Sampradaya has the supreme mission. So therefore, that Sampradaya is so much more glorious than any other. So now, we want to go to the deviated. Appa means deviated Sampradaya. So yesterday we read how Hinduism in general can be considered Appa Sampradaya. And now we want to explain the origin of the actual deviation. We're not talking yet about any particular Appa Sampradaya, we're just talking about the origin of the deviated mentality. So, just want to get one reference ready. Oh yes, here it is. Okay. So that we see on the board here. On the top, I put this, Paropakar Pratishtan. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in one purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, explains that the preaching mission, Mahaprabhu's preaching mission, is Paropakar. That means it's meant for the benefit of everyone. And Pratishtan means organization in Sanskrit and Bengali. So this is actually the mission of the Sampradaya. The Gaudiya Sampradaya is Paropakara Pratishtan. It is an organization, a society, which is meant for everyone's benefit. So that is actually the mood. It's Paropakar. It's the actually meant to be the mood of everyone who's part of the Pratishtan, the society. But sometimes, because Maya's influence is very strong, Maya is always very, very close to us all, so long as we're existing in this material world. So sometimes, someone who is officially a member of Paropakara Pratishtan, the society meant that is meant for everyone's benefit, develops subtle fruitive desires. Now this is nothing to be surprised about, because there are different levels of devotees. And everyone begins their devotional service as Kanishta, or as Srila Prabhupada says in Nectar of Instruction, Prakrita Bhakta. So Prakrita means there's connection with material consciousness. And so especially someone who's on that platform, Kanishta platform, then he is easily influenced by such subtle fruitive desires. And these subtle fruitive desires are explained in a work called Hari Katha by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati as desires to enjoy the holy Dham, disciples, Vaishnavas, and Shastric knowledge. Now, to explain that, enjoying the holy Dham means, to understand it in terms of ISKCON, here we're having this festival every year, and we definitely do see every year there is some section of visitors who are coming to enjoy, and even those who are initiated, coming from regular ISKCON temple outside, it seems that their main intent and purpose is to have a vacation. So that's one example. There are those who even utilize, they may have a piece of property in the holy Dham, like Mayapur or Vrindavan. And because of this subtle desire, that becomes the main purpose, simply to advertise, this is a holy place of pilgrimage, to bring in visitors, but the main idea is to make business, make money off the visitors, and in this way enhance one's comforts in the holy Dham. So these are examples of what is meant by an attitude of enjoyment of the holy Dham. Then enjoying disciples, that's not so hard to understand. Someone becomes guru and accepts disciples in the same way that, for instance, a father may produce children. He produces children out of sensual desire, sex life, and when the children are there, then he engages them in his sense gratification. They become his servants. So it's another form of family life. Enjoying Vaishnavas means that in order to pass oneself off as being a bona fide devotee, then he may cite the statements or histories of great Vaishnavas to substantiate what he's doing. In other words, one is imitating instead of following. And in this imitative mood, he's trying to justify by pointing out, well, Narottam Das did that, or Bhaktivinoda had so many children, or like this. And then enjoying the Shastric knowledge means that while as we're saying, these are subtle, so it starts in the mind. One starts to think like this, first of all, how to enjoy holy Dham, disciples, and Vaishnavas. So then one needs justification. So he reads the Shastras in that way. Just like there's an expression, looking for loopholes. In law, that is one approach. A lawyer has a confirmed criminal as a client. I mean, the lawyer knows damn well that the criminal has committed the crime. But the criminal pays him good money. So he looks at the law in that way, looking for loopholes, looking for ways by technical legalities of law how he can get his client off. So with that same approach, they look at the Shastras, looking for exceptions and looking for different ways of justifying a new philosophy of sense gratification. So, then, as soon as that enjoying attitude is there, then this gives rise to these six items here. And I want to read from Madhya Lila, chapter 12, text 135 from the purport. where Srila Prabhupada explains this very nicely. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that even though one may become free from the desire for fruitive activity, sometimes the subtle desire for fruitive activity comes into being within the heart. Now, this next sentence is very, very applicable to experience that we have had in our movement. One often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity. So that is in essence the expression of this enjoying mentality. That one starts to see devotional service in business terms. And he actually starts to think that if he implemented more and more of the business type approach to his Krishna consciousness, that things will get better. And they give arguments like this. Well, I've heard this. Well, you know, in the corporate world, they do like this. So we should also organize ISKCON in a similar way. I've seen whole huge papers written on that. One paper I saw a few years ago was proposing, they were giving a breakdown of the Philips organization, you know, this Dutch electronics company, make tape recorders and TV sets. And he had a whole breakdown of the Philips hierarchy. And then he was proposing how, you know, GBC, temple presidents, everything could follow the same pattern. And it would be very, very good for expanding Krishna consciousness. And where is this devotee now who wrote that paper? He's running a computer business in Amsterdam. He's no longer an active member of our society. So, that speaks for itself. So one often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity. However, the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into misunderstanding, described as kutanati, which is there on the board, and pratishtasha, also there. Kutanati means fault finding, and pratishtasha means the desire for name and fame and for high position. There is another purport, just as a note, there's another purport where Srila Prabhupada translates a song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and in this song the word pratishta also appears, and Prabhupada translates that as pride of being a Vaishnava. So one is a Vaishnava, but if he becomes proud, that immediately means there's material contamination. So pride is always the fellow traveler of the mood to enjoy. And kutanati is always the fellow traveler of pride, fault finding. As soon as one becomes proud, then he's going to find fault with others. Jiva hingsa, envy of other living entities. Nishidachara, accepting things forbidden in the Shastra. Kama, desire for material gain. And puja, hankering for popularity. The word kutanati means duplicity. As an example, one may attempt to imitate Srila Haridas Thakur by living in a solitary place. One's real desire may be for name and fame. In other words, one thinks that fools will accept one to be as good as Haridas Thakur just because one lives in a solitary place. These are all material desires. A neophyte devotee is certain. This is the point I was making about Prakriti Bhakta. A neophyte devotee is certain to be attacked by other material desires as well, women and money. In this way, the heart is again filled with dirty things and becomes harder and harder, like that of a materialist. Gradually, one desires to become a reputed devotee or an avatar incarnation. The word jivahingsa, envy of other living entities, actually means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Preaching work is described as paropakar, welfare activity for others. Those who are ignorant of the benefits of devotional service must be educated by preaching. If one stops preaching and simply sits down in a solitary place, he is engaging in material activity. If one desires to make a compromise with the mayavadis, he is also engaged in material activity. A devotee should never make compromise with non-devotees by acting as a professional guru, mystic, yogi, or miracle man. One may cheat and bluff the general public and gain fame as a wonderful mystic, but all this is considered to be dust, straw, and grains of sand within the heart. In addition, one should follow the regulative principles and not desire illicit sex, gambling, intoxicants, and meat. So that's an explanation of these 6 points. And I want to read... That's accepting things that are forbidden in the Shastra. So these begin to appear in the mind. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in a very interesting... throws another very interesting light on this subject. There are so many purports I could cite, but I've just picked out essential ones. In Madhya Lila chapter 19, text 160, I'll read the whole purport. Because as you recall, yesterday we mentioned how to be a real member of Sampradaya means to chant the holy name without offense. That was one purport. Srila Prabhupada asserted this. This is what really means to belong to parampara, chanting without offense. So in this purport, Madhya Lila 19:160, if one chants the Hare Krishna mantra while committing offenses, these unwanted creepers will grow. One should not take advantage of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for some material profit. As mentioned in verse 159, and here they are again. Nishidachara kutinati jivahingsana laba puja prashtishtari yata upashakagan. The unwanted creepers have been described by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He says that if one hears and chants without trying to give up offenses, one becomes materially attached to sense gratification. One may also desire freedom from material bondage like the Mayavadis, or one may become attached to the yoga cities and desire wonderful yogic powers. If one is attached to wonderful material activities, one is called siddhi lobi, greedy for material perfection. One may also be victimized by diplomatic or crooked behavior, or one may associate with women for illicit sex. Others may make a show of devotional service like the Prakriti Sahajiyas. Or one may try to support his philosophy by joining some caste or identifying himself with a certain dynasty, claiming a monopoly on spiritual advancement. Thus, with the support of family tradition, one may become a pseudo-guru or so-called spiritual master. One may become attached to the 4 sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Or one may consider a Vaishnava to belong to a mundane caste or creed. One may think this is a Hindu Vaishnava and this is a European Vaishnava. A European Vaishnava is not allowed to enter the temples. In other words, one may consider Vaishnavas in terms of birth, thinking, one a Brahmana Vaishnava, a Shudra Vaishnava, a Mlecha Vaishnava, and so on. One may also try to carry out a professional business while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra or reading Srimad Bhagavatam, or one may try to increase his monetary strength by illegal means. One may also try to be a cheap mundane, one may also try to be a cheap Vaishnava by chanting in a secluded place for material adoration, or one may desire mundane reputation by making compromises with non-devotees, compromising one's philosophy or spiritual life, or one may become a supporter of a hereditary caste system. All these are pitfalls of personal sense gratification. Just to cheat some innocent people, one makes a show of advanced spiritual life and becomes known as a sadhu, mahatma, or religious person. All this means that the so-called devotee has become victimized by all these unwanted creepers, and the real creeper of Bhakti Lata Bija has been stunted. So, when these 6 results of subtle fruitive desire appear in the consciousness and are maintained, then this leads to what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati calls... Actually, misspell it. Take the A out. Achikitsya namaparad. Achikitsya means incorrigible. It means it cannot be corrected. He speaks of 3 classes of namaparad. This is in this work, Hari Kata. So the category 1, the first category, I don't want to say first class, because the first class is the worst class. So the first category is this Achikitsya Namaparad. and they have given full freedom or full facility for these unwanted creepers to grow up in the heart. And because of this enjoying attitude, enjoying Dham, disciples, knowledge, Shastra, and Vaishnavas, then they justify it. They have a justification for everything. So they consider themselves to be beyond Nam-aparad. This is their mentality. They're the worst Nam-aparadis, but they consider themselves they've surpassed Nam-aparad. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati mentions, he mentions especially how they commit three of, they commit all ten of Nam-aparads, but there's three which are very significant. There is sadhu ninda, which means offending other devotees. This is because they've become proud. They become very puffed up and proud, thinking themselves to be the param Vaishnavas, the best of all Vaishnavas. So they think that they don't require to associate with other devotees. Outside, of course, their own, if they have their own little camp, then they associate together like that. But they don't need to have a general association of other devotees. They cut themselves off from that because they consider these others are inferior. So in this way they make this offense, sadhu-ninda. And because of this sadhu-ninda, then automatically they're committing guru-avagya. They're offending their own spiritual master. Actually, they don't understand at all the principle of guru. They don't understand how success in chanting Hare Krishna absolutely depends upon association with devotees of the Lord and upon the mercy of the spiritual master. They're keeping, like Prabhupada used to warn, don't keep the spiritual master as a pet. This is actually their approach. They may have been initiated by a great spiritual master, but they use him as a banner to justify their own nonsense. This is also mentioned, the family of Advaita, Sri Advaita Acharya. He had six sons, and three were bona fide followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, including Achyutananda, a very great, wonderful Vaishnava. But he had three other sons who are called asar, they're useless. They became contaminated by the Mayavadi philosophy. So these three useless ones, they claimed, their whole claim to name and fame is that we are sons of Advaita Acharya. But they're actually, they're very contaminated in heart. So they were simply material sons, not spiritual sons. So just like that, one who is a son by dint of diksha, one who becomes a son of a spiritual master by dint of initiation, if he allows these dirty things to flourish within the heart, then he will also become simply a material son. And just like materialists do, then they will try to utilize the reputation, the good reputation of their father for their own ends, or usurp his possessions, usurp his property. And in this way degrade the whole family tradition. So therefore, Guru Avagya, they make that offense. And then Shruti Shastra Ninda means they offend the Shastras because they're continually justifying everything they're doing. They may be great scholars. They may be very learned. But as we shall see, as we talk about the individual Apva Sampradayas, how expert they are in isolating some... This is what they do. They isolate some statement, some reference in the Shastra. They take it out of context and they give their own purport to it. And in this way they can justify anything. And you'll be surprised when we talk about Aul and Baul and Darabesh. You'll be very surprised to see what Shastric references they have employed to justify themselves as being bona fide, the most bona fide followers. The most bona fide followers of Mahaprabhu or Sanatan Goswami and so on. So, we mentioned, this is the first category of Namaparadis, incorrigible. And they're responsible for leading more innocent persons along the deviated path. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati mentions that there are two other classes of Namaparadis. The second class, their problem is ajnana. They're ignorant. And why are they ignorant? It's because of not having enough bhakti sukriti. That means they're very new to Krishna consciousness. They, even in terms of previous lifetimes, they haven't had much association with devotees. So just beginning Krishna consciousness, not having the bhakti sukriti means piety, but it's in terms of bhakti, means devotional piety. Not having devotional piety, therefore they're very thick, you know, very gross. But due to the mercy of the holy name, they have some attraction to chant Hare Krishna. But by ignorance, they very easily end up in the wrong kind of association. They're so ignorant, they have a hard time telling who's a good devotee, who's not a good devotee, like that. And often when they come in the association of good devotees, because of their gross conditioning, they make trouble, and it's difficult for them to stay in the association of good devotees. So then they, you know, they look for some other camp to associate with in which they feel more comfortable. And then they may end up with these achikitsya nama paradis.
They don't have discriminating.
Yeah, they don't really have that, yes. So, but if they have, if they simply chant the holy name of the Lord, keep chanting, then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, by taking full shelter of the holy name, then these gross fellows who are ignorant, they may also become purified and then be able to take proper association. So there's some hope for them. Then the third category, they have anarthas. They're spiritually weak. It's called hridaya dorbalyam, weakness of the heart. And that's simply because of past karma, engaged in sense gratification. So the tendency is still there in the mind to enjoy sense gratification. So, you know, their senses, mind may become agitated. And because of that, in weak condition, they can become bewildered. They may, in their bewildered state, morose state, you see, then fall into wrong association and they get preached to. The reason you're having trouble is because of, you know, and some interesting philosophy is given. Oh, really? And then they follow this new camp. But the real thing is if they simply kept chanting Hare Krishna and accepted proper association, then they would get strength. So this is their only real way out of their misery. By falling into the clutches of these incorrigible, uncorrectable offenders against the holy name, there's no hope. What is happening is this. It's a very interesting point. We mentioned those creepers in the purport. These creepers of material desire. So Prabhupada says, when one is chanting, it is like putting water on the Bhakti Lata Beach, and these other things are weeds. So the weeds are growing. And the Bhakti Lata is withering because the weeds are sucking up all the water that is meant for the Bhakti Lata. Now, it is difficult for a neophyte devotee to distinguish between weed and bhakti lata. The weeds can look just like the bhakti lata. Just like a deviated Vaishnava may, to a neophyte, look just like a pukka, proper devotee. And somehow, because of his internal material desires, which he's not very aware of, he's attracted to associate with that person who's actually personifying in every way all material desire. But he's chanting Hare Krishna, keeping shaved head, keeping tilak. So then the neophyte is thinking, yes, he's a very nice devotee. When I'm with him, I feel very enlightened. And when I'm with those others, well, I somehow I'm not very happy. I don't know why. So in this way, the weeds grow up. And he's thinking, seeing the weeds growing, that he's making advancement in Krishna consciousness. He thinks that's the bhakti lata. So as Krishna consciousness is actually dying in his heart, he's thinking he's becoming a pure devotee. This is the actual, what's behind Appa Sampradaya. So, Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he gives one verse. What is that? Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kamariya navritam anukulena krishna anusilanam bhakti uttama. So pure devotional service, uttama bhakti, is service which is free of any taint of three things. Anyabhilashita, this means base material desire. And then karma means desire for success, material success. And jnana means mental speculation. So pure devotional service is always free of these three. And conversely, someone who has cultivated the enjoying mentality, then these three things will be very prominent in his activities. So in that work that Srila Jayapataka Maharaj translated, Vaishnava K, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati indicates how these three, anyabhilashita, jnana, and karma, appear in the consciousness of an offender to the holy name. So I've put them here. Karma, this is the central one, because as we've explained, subtle desires, subtle fruitive desires, this is how it begins. Subtle desires for enjoyment. So karma is the first thing that starts to manifest. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that the karma tendency appears in the mind of an offender as anitya vaibhava. Anitya vaibhava, simply anitya means temporary, vaibhava means desire. So desiring any kind of temporary attainment, like name, fame, position, profit, adoration, distinction, material success, in other words. Which, you know, in... take it, let's be very practical. We can take it in terms of ISKCON. So Nitya Vaibhava can appear in the mind of a devotee in ISKCON ISKCON's terms of success. So, for instance, a Nitya Vaibhava can be becoming a guru. It can, of course, becoming a guru actually has nothing to do, the real meaning of guru has nothing to do with any material conception. But someone who has these dirty things in the heart can take it that way. So the goal of becoming guru is his anitya vaibhava. Or goal of becoming temple president. Or goal of becoming anything. Whatever it may be. And then anyabhilashita. Because once one sets one's heart on material goals, then this immediately agitates the base material desires, the gross material desires. So this appears in the heart of an offender as kamanira kama. This means the desire to, lusty desire to enjoy women, beautiful women. Kamanira means actually a beautiful young girl. And you know, when Mahaprabhu says, na danam, na janam, na sundarim, sundari. This is also, there are different ways of explaining sundarim, but one, when you say sundari, it means a beautiful young girl. So Mahaprabhu rejects this. But the Namaparadis, they embrace this. Very nice program, enjoying beautiful young girls in the name of spiritual life. And then the other thing, jnana, the other contaminated tendency, appears as mayavad, which we all know, impersonalism, impersonal philosophy. Now, under the heading mayavad, we can also include, we can put a fancy English term, which is appears similarly in other languages too. Syncretism. 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 This is a term you find in theology books. Syncretism simply means mixing different religious traditions together to make something new. So someone under the influence of Mayavadi philosophy may think that Krishna consciousness, in order that we really, you know, fulfill the mission of Krishna consciousness, we should mix it with Christianity or Hinduism or Buddhism or something else. So they begin to adapt, you know, they begin to bring in these influences from other quarters and establish them, you know, perhaps a different outfit. And I mean, everyone's laughing because they think this is something new, but when I describe Neda Darbesh, you'll see that this is a very old thing. This is nothing new. They've been doing it, they've mastered this already. Bowel, they all have their special outfit which they've taken from here and there. So this is very much Appa Sampradayic tradition, the tradition of deviation. So this all comes under the Mayavad tendency. And automatically it means if one is adapting external trappings, dress and so on, and prayers and whatever, then internally the philosophy is also being inserted. So all these other, besides Mahaprabhu's, beside the Vaishnav Sampradayas, we read that yesterday in a purport. Besides, it is all Mayavad, it is all impersonal, it is all nonsense. We can just, you know, chuck it all out the window. We don't need to adapt anything from the Christians or the Jews or the Hindus or anyone, any other ooze. So it's all Mayavad, it's all impersonal. So this is just watering down what Mahaprabhu came to teach. So now, for purpose of explanation, I have arranged the 13 Appa Sampradayas. Now I should say one thing. When we say 13 Appa Sampradayas, this is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who's quoting one Tota Ram Das Babaji, who is a Vaishnava in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Acharya, Vaishnava, spiritual master. So Tota Ram Das Babaji actually composed that verse, which we find in Prabhupada's purports, Au Baul Kartab, etc. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur cites that. So there's this list of 13. Now I have another book in which a contemporary of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, someone who lived at the same time he did, he went around Bengal and he was counting, he was actually, what did they say, cataloging the different Appa Sampradayas. And he came up with 56 before he stopped. And he said, actually there's a lot more out there, but I guess he got fried before. So there's any number. And when Prabhupada says in a purport that the whole of Hinduism can be classified as Appa Sampradaya, so that means any number, because Hinduism is very diverse. So, but these 13, once we understand how these 13 have deviated, we will see the principles behind all deviation. So I have organized these 13 for purpose of this explanation under the what seems to be, from the description, to be the prominent material desire. That is not to say that the other material desires are also not there. In fact, we can pretty much say that in every one of these 13, they're all mixed up. Kamanira Kama, Nitya Vaibhava, and Mayavad. But from the descriptions, we find that some seem to really display particular bent for one or the other. So for that reason, just to explain the deviation, I have organized them like that. And so we'll begin with those who have deviated in favor of karma or material success, worldly success. And under that we have Jati Goshai and Smarta. Now another reason why I wanted to begin with Jati Goshai is that in this book, which is a collection, recently came out, a collection of Srila Prabhupada's lectures for on festival days. I was very surprised. This book came to me just before I left for India, and I was very surprised to find one lecture in which Prabhupada says very much about the 13 Upasampradayas. In fact, he says, if I were to explain this subject matter thoroughly, it would take 13 hours. He goes through them very briefly. And he says, of all 13, the most important are the Jati Gosai. Now, the reason for that is that the Jati Gosai appear most like Pakka Vaishnavas. Jati Gosai, what does that mean? That means seminal descendants of, well, we can say the best among the Jati Gosai are the seminal descendants from Mahaprabhu's associates. That means family line. Family line descending from some great devotee who was associated with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sankirtan movement. What they have done, as Prabhupada points out in this lecture, they created a new caste. Before Mahaprabhu appeared, then in what was rampant in India was the Smarta Brahmins, caste Brahmins. So when Mahaprabhu came, then he told Kiva Vipra, Kiva Nyasi, Shudra Kena Noyam. It doesn't matter if you're a Vipra, a Brahmin, or a Shudra, or a Sannyasi, or a Grihastha. Say Krishna Tattva Veta, say Guru Hoy. If you know the science of Krishna, then you're to be accepted as pure devotee, Guru. This was Mahaprabhu's principle. But after Prabhupada, in this lecture, he told about 250 years time after Mahaprabhu's disappearance, then this Jati Gosai started to become very prominent. Now, I don't really want to get into... We could, you know, talk about the history of how it happened and so on and so forth. But I don't think we have enough time for that. I just want to give, especially on Jati Gosai, there are some things which are very relevant, and I just want to talk about them. That the main deviation of Jati Gosai, the principal deviation, is this Gosai. It is a Bengali form of Goswami. So Goswami means Paramahansa Sannyas. There are four kinds of sannyas. And the topmost is Paramahansa Sannyas, or Babaji. And the six Goswamis of Vrindavan were Paramahansa Sannyas Babajis. And they're known as Goswami. So it means master of the senses. So actually, that's the origin of this term, Goswami. Now, the Balabha Sampradaya, which is the later form of Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. There's Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, and then Balabhacharya, he was initiated in that.